actually verse 1 through 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. The subject here is the same as we have seen over and over in the first five chapters of Hebrews. Paul, who I believe is the writer of Hebrews, is leading the Jewish professors of faith to go on. Not to go back to Judaism, not to leave persecution that comes with being a Christian, not to go back to Judaism, which has its faults, comfort of, you know, Old Testament truth and a belief in God, but to do so would be to reject all that they had in Christ. And so we have another kind of a little summary statement here before another very serious warning. It says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, to maturity, go forward, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying out of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Now he's saying in different words now exactly what we've been saying before. Don't go back. Don't go back to Old Testament truth. Don't go back to the Jewish religion. Now, the Jewish faith, followed correctly, would lead to Jesus Christ. But don't take that foundation that leads to Jesus Christ and forsake Christ and go back to, could we say, that Old Testament foundation. And so he says there are six things that they should not go back to. Some of them are a little bit difficult to really deal with, but we'll try to talk about them. It says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works. Now, I'm going to try to show that what he's talking about is, again, the Jewish Levitical system. The repentance from dead works. Let's look at a couple of verses. Okay? Hebrews 9. It says, verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now notice he uses these phrases. Now chapter 10. It says verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. So he's saying, don't go back to the dead works of the Levitical system that we're not able to wash away sins. Don't go back to that work. But, obviously, that is in contrast to the work of Christ, which is done once and completed and finished. Notice those great verses in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so you see the picture. They're going to go back to the Levitical system. Works that couldn't wash away their sin. Works that couldn't save them. Works that had to be done over and over. Why would you go back to those dead works, which were only a foundation, a picture of the coming of Christ? Then he says in Hebrews chapter 6, it says, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now certainly these people, these Jewish people had faith, but that faith was in a shadow of the coming of Christ. And to reject the fulfillment of that type, to reject that completed type, that revelation of truth found in Christ, would be to go back, I would say, quote unquote, to a simplistic, inferior faith in God. Sometimes you hear somebody's testimony, and they say, well, I always believed in God. Well, excuse me. they may have believed in God, but they weren't saved until they got saved. And thank the Lord, they believed in God, but that wasn't salvation. And you see, the Jewish mind, they have this thought, well, I can leave the truth in Christ, and I can go back into, I will call this, an inferior faith on God in the shadows of the Old Testament. And he is telling us in, again, this passage of Scripture, no, don't go back to that. You know, those were great truths. Those were great things. They're great foundational truths. But you don't go back to that. And to do that would to be to reject the fuller revelation you have in Christ. Then it says, and of the doctrine of baptisms. Now, if you look at this word, this is the same word that, it is the word baptism. But it is the same word that is typically translated washings. Washings. Now, Mark chapter 7. Turn there once. It says, verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be, which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. The word, therefore, washing is the word baptism. What was it? It was Well, how do you wash a plate? You know, how do you wash a plate? You go to the faucet and you get a couple of drops of water and you put it on it. That's how you wash a plate? Oh, maybe put a little bit more than that. Now, if you want to sterilize a plate, I mean, you immerse it in good hot water, don't you? Now, the Jewish tradition had evolved into, okay, you went out on the street, you contacted something from a Gentile, and you know what? You better wash your hands because you've been defiled. It isn't the Old Testament washing where you touched a dead man or you touched an issue of blood or you touched a disease and you were no longer clean and you had to go to the Levitical pool. And Levitical pool was a pool, had two sets of stairs. And it would be like looking like going into a baptismal tank. One set of stairs went down, and there's another set of stairs that went out. And you couldn't go out the same set of stairs that you came in, because when you came in, you were unclean. And if you would go out that same set of stairs, you'd be unclean again. So you came, and this was the tradition had evolved into that. But obviously, the whole original idea was a washing, a cleansing from the impurity. And in the Old Testament, if you had touched a dead body, the wages of sin is what? What was that? The wages of sin is what? If you touched a dead body, you are now unclean. You couldn't worship in the temple. Because why? The wages of sin is what? Death is connected. With the wage of sin. There's impurity there. And so you had to go to a Levitical washing in order to worship God. Now, and so in the Old Testament, there were these washings. And I was talking about the cleansing that was needed to worship Christ. But thank God, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Why go back to those when it's the blood of Jesus Christ that can cleanse you from sin every day? And God do His real work on the inside and in reality. Why go back? He says, don't go back to that Old Testament foundation. All right? Now, and then it says, the laying on of hands. Turn to Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16 is an important and significant chapter in the Bible. It's the Day of Atonement. And like the other offerings, Notice in verse 21, and Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he shall let go the goat in the wilderness. And of course, earlier in this whole procedure, there was a goat that was killed and the blood was put upon the altar. But here there's the laying on of hands. And when the burnt offering was slain, the person presenting that offering had to lay his hands on that animal. And the laying on of hands was a picture of putting that person's sin on that animal. The picture of a substitute. Of a substitute. And the high priest, when he put his hands on that live goat, and of course going off into the wilderness, is picturing how Jesus said your sins will be put away as far as east is from the west. And a picture of the resurrection and Christ bearing our sin. And so the laying on of hands, that's an Old Testament ordinance speaking of the substitutionary work that was pictured in the offerings. Well, the Bible says, and God hath made him sin for us who knew no sin. God put our sins once and for all on Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament was just a picture. It was a great picture. A wonderful picture. But it was a picture. It was pointing to the one that our sins really would be laid upon. And the Jews were going to forsake that. The Jewish people who had professed Christ were going to forsake what happened to Christ. Figuratively, God putting our sins on him. And you know, when you trust Christ, you know, that's what you're doing. You're accepting him as your substitute for all your sin. Not just part of him. Catholic Church, you know, you gotta make sure you confess all your sins. I always wonder what happens to the one you didn't confess. Christ paid it all. And so he said, why would you go back to that? Put that in the background. You know, it's a great truth. These are great truths. But to forsake Christ and go back to those, no. And so we have the picture that we've been seeing throughout the book of Hebrews over and over. You know, how can we apply that today? Well, he says, let us go on. Let us go on unto perfection. Let us go on. You know, there's this truth. They had it. That was the basis of them coming to Christ, understanding that truth. There's now, let's go on. Let's go on in our life, in our faith, in our walk. Let's work and live in full confidence of what Christ has done. Let's go on. And that's a great truth, you know. We haven't arrived. No one has arrived. Doesn't matter where we are. You know what? You know, isn't it kind of silly But I would guess that we have a problem here. I think it'd probably be pretty true. We probably had a couple similar problems. One, it is typical for people who've been saved for a certain amount of time that they get into a spiritual rut. They kind of have arrived. You know, they're older now. I don't know how old is older. I don't know. Wally telling. But they get a certain age and they said, "Oh, I've been saved a long time. And there's no need to progress." Hey, I wonder, some of you senior citizens, do you think maybe there might be some areas that you need to grow in your convictions? Or have you just no need to grow anymore? No need to grow anymore. You can just coast on wherever you came to sometime in life. But there's no need for any further sanctification, you know. On the other hand, guess what? I would dare say we probably have, I think we probably have some children here. You know, 12 years old or younger, and they're saved. And you know what? They kind of think, "I'm saved. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm okay. You know, I can come to church and I can just sit there and it doesn't make any difference if I hear it or not, if I make a decision or not. Oh, I'm okay." And you know what? We all can get in that rut, can't we? We need to go on. There's always room for growth. And the Apostle Paul, he said, "Not that I have ever attained, but I press towards the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." And you know, we aren't like the Jews, maybe going back to Judaism. But I wonder if our spirit can't be a little bit dead like that. You know, no faith, no energy to go forward. Just kind of want to, you know, stick in the rut. Well, I'm saved and I'm a church member and everything is okay. And that spirit can be there. Obviously, the Jewish problem represented even a worse spirit. And we'll get into that the next spirit. We call it the spirit of apostasy, in which they were really, instead of needing to go on, they were willing to go backwards and reject the truth in Christ. So, let us go on. Let us go on, every one of us. Isn't it amazing the writer of Scripture included himself? He says, "Let us go on, if God will." And you know what? The fact is, none of us know if we have the chance to go forward. We have it today. We don't know about tomorrow. Let's pray. Father, pray you'd use your word in our lives, and Lord, help us to go forward. Help us to go on to maturity. Help us to be what you want us to be, and not to judge our lives by even religion or even what many around us are doing. But let us, Lord, take a firm look at truth of your word. And let us be able to meet you face to face in your word. And go forward. And so, Lord, may we even allow your Holy Spirit to search our hearts tonight about going forward to higher ground, new ground, taking truth and applying it, even in difficult circumstances, just like these Jewish people were challenged to do. And perhaps God is calling you to go forward tonight. I encourage you, let God have His way right now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.